This one is done with Ante Hanani in MIT, and I also include some work in progress with David Tong in Cambridge. Okay, Bob. So from Henry Tai's talk, so you recognize that this reconnection is very important for having a nice simulation or numerical simulations. And if you want to actually know this number density in the sky of the cosmic strings in the sky, then you have to have a precise input for this simulation. Of course, it includes the initial number density of the strings, but it can be generated by some Monte Carlo simulations. And the more important one is the reconnection probability. So here is the picture of a reconnection. So you have two cosmic strings, for example, and I suppose that they are colliding to each other with some intersection angle. Then this picture clearly shows that it's possible to have reconnection, or of course it's possible to not to have reconnection. So these properties are very important for the numerical simulation. And the more important problem for phenomenological viewpoint is that there might be, well, now we have several possible identities for these cosmic strings. And one is a traditional viewpoint, which is field theory vortices, vortex strings, saying Avier-Hicks model. And also we have a nice window for cosmic superstrings. And so if suppose that we detect these are some signal from cosmic strings, then how we can distinguish those two. So this is the most important part. And Copeland, Myers, and Polchinski proposed that the important part is that this reconnection probability is different for these two kinds of strings. First, for the traditional field theory vortex strings, that probability is actually one. So here, why we know that it's a one is just owing to the numerical simulations which have been done extensively in 1980s. And also, this numerical simulation seems to show that there is an upper bound of the velocity, relative velocity of this collision of cosmic strings for the reconnection to occur. So if the speed is very high, then it's possible that these are Avier-Hicks model vortex strings can pass through each other without reconnection. But the things are quite different for the cosmic superstrings or cosmic D strings. There we have a probabilistic reconnection. And it was explicitly shown by Copeland, Myers, Polchinski paper, and also extensively computed in Jackson, Jones, and Polchinski's paper. So the result is here. If we perform some logical calculations and assume some assumptions, then you can show that depending on the compactification scenario, it can vary from 10 to minus 3 to nearly equals to 1. But it's important to here the important point is that p is not equal to 1, so it's probabilistic. And also you can see this fact by actually thinking about fundamental string interaction, because this reconnection process is something like a scattering of two fundamental strings. So those scattering amplitudes should be given by the string coupling, and that string coupling gives the probability. But from a phenomenological point of view, of course, d-brains are much heavier than fundamental strings. So if you actually observe these cosmic strings as d-brains or superstrings, then it's plausible to have d-strings rather than fundamental strings, because it's heavier, so it's closer to the window. So here I'm going to talk about these cosmic d-strings and vortex strings and explain why these are so different in this respect of reconnection probability. So in this talk, I'd like to answer the following question from the viewpoint of effective field theory on the cosmic strings. So those are Walsh field theory, which is on 1 plus 1 dimensions, of the logic of this cosmic string. So the question number one is, what is the mechanism of the reconnection of the vortex strings and of the D strings? And the question number two is, why are they different in reconnection property? So this is this would like to this is going to give a significant difference between D strings and vortex strings. And we know that for D strings, the reconnection probability is not one, and it's a probabilistic phenomena. So how one can compute this reconnection probability explicitly for D strings? So first, I'd like to show that these strings can pass through each other in a very simple way of using the Wall-Street effective field theory of these strings. So this action is a famous Dibrain action, and I assume that we have two cosmic strings because we are going to describe the collision process. So this is given by just 1 plus 1 dimensional U2 Young-Mills gauge field. And we have 8 joint scalar field, which I specify by phi I. I runs from 2 to 9. And we have a coupling term, potential term between these, those 8 scalar fields. So now in this D-string action, there is a very simple cluster option representing them passing through each other without reconnection. So those are these. Now I turn on phi 2 and phi 3 to specify the three-dimensional space. And let me suppose that other directions are compactified in a simple way. Then we have U2 joint matrices, and I can turn on only the diagonal elements like this. That means that, well, the first, I have a scalar phi 2, which has a diagonal component v bar t and minus v bar t here. And this means that those two strings are colliding to each other with the relative velocity 2 v bar. And also, I have a scalar field phi 3, which is linear in this x. And this theta is given to represent the intersection angle. So I parameterize these two strings in this direction x, which is one of the three-dimensional space. And then consider this tilt against each other by introducing this minus sign here. So this is a simple solution, and it's linear in t and x, so it obviously solves the equation motion. And as time goes, t is going from minus to positive, plus, then the situation is evolving in this way. So you can see that there is no reconnection here. So this is a simple classical solution, and it means that the D strings can pass through each other without reconnection clustering. Then what about the vortex strings from our field theories? So to see the reconnection property for these vortex strings, we need effective action on the multiple vortex strings, which is an analog of the previous Dibrain action. But actually, it's very difficult to obtain this effective action because, first of all, we don't have any analytic solution for the Abedin-Hicks model cosmic string. And also, if we want to have two cosmic strings, then things are more difficult. And we have to put, for example, the initial velocity and initial intersection angle. So that makes things more difficult. But here, there is a nice way to realize this effective action from brain technique, which was given by Hanani and Tong. So I'd like to review it here. So first, what I have to do is to realize this Abedin-Hicks model in terms of brain configurations. So this is a kind of a virtual brain configuration, and this is it's irrelevant to the phenomenology. So just for getting this multiple world sheet action for the multiple cosmic strings of the vortex strings, I consider this brain configuration, which is famous by Hanani and Witten. So I have two NS5 brains, and I put D4 brain suspended between these two, and I put D6 brain perpendicular to this D4 brain. And let me consider a field theory on this D4 brain. And the brain configuration is specified by the directions along which these brains are elongated. So I put, this is my brain configuration. And if you think of this vector field theory on this D4 brain compactified along this F6 direction, then this is giving a four-dimensional n equal 2 gauge theory. And furthermore, I consider a shift of this one of these NS5 brain along the X9 direction this way. So please neglect this D2 brain for a while. Then what happens is that to maintain the supersymmetry, this D4 brain should move on to the location of D6 brain and split into these two pieces. And actually, this is a brain realization of n equal 2 Avina Hicks model with the matter content of gauge field and scalar field and fundamental scalar 2 scalar fields. And in this Avina Hicks model, there are two parameters. First of all, there is a gauge coupling that is given by this formula in string language, where this delta x log plus 6 is given by the distance between these two NS5 brains. And also, I have a finite force parameter for the symmetry breaking, and that is given by this parameter, delta x9, the shift amount of this NS5. And furthermore, I have to take the decoupling limit, of course, to decouple all the other irrelevant fields like closed string excitations and open string massive excitations. And that is precisely given by this form. So I have to take small coupling limit and also have to make a small distance. Then this is a realization of Avina Hicks model. Then what about the vortex strings which should appear in this model? And Hannah Eaton claimed that vortex strings are actually D2 brains suspending between these two D4 brains and on this D6 brain. This claim is supported by several facts, like, for example, the correct supersymmetries are preserved, and also correct tensions are reproduced, and like that, and also the correct charges. So here, if you so now we have an identity of these vortex strings in terms of brain realization. Then we can get a vortex string effective action like this. So what I have to do is just consider the D2 brain action in this background. So what the results in this? So this is a D2 brain action compactified on this D4 brains. So we have a similar matter content, gauge field and the complex scalar field Z composed of phi 2 and phi 3, and also the new ingredient is this fundamental scalar field. And there is an interaction time between these two guys, like this. And this is given from, say, string scattering amplitude. And I have to take the decoupling limit. And those the couplings appearing here is given by string language, like this. And if I remember correctly, this decoupling limit to give this Avina Hicks model, then I have to take the same limit for this action. Then what happens is that I have to take g goes to infinity, because this is getting very large. So this is getting very small. And if g goes to infinity, then there is a coefficient just in front of this potential term. So it means that only the potential bottom survives in this decoupling limit. So the effective theory of the vortex strings is just a sigma model whose target space is given by this bottom order potential. So what I have to do is solve this equation with some kinetic term. But the important fact is that this D-term equation does not allow the passing through solution, which I presented before, this simple one, because here you have only the diagonal element. But if you go into this vortex string effective theory, then it's impossible to solve this equation with that ANDAS. That's simply because if z is diagonal, then this vanishes. But this psi is rank 1. But this is, here I have a 2 by 2 unit matrix, so I cannot cancel this by this. So it means that it's necessary to turn on the off diagonal element. So this is the reason why naive reconnection in the vortex string theory. So let me move over to the more precise proof of the inevitable reconnection vortex strings. So I can solve the D-term condition, which I presented before, by the following parameterization, which was already given by Kim, Lee, and Lee. And this is a parameterization where I turned on Z, which has diagonal element -1 and -2, -1, that gives a relative position of these Cosmos strings. Using the usual Mantle's method, we obtain the effective action of the relative motion of the two vortex strings that is given by this. So here Z is upgraded to a field on this world sheet, and the argument is T and X. And here the non-trivial fact is that we have a metric on this target space, which is given by this. And this has a peculiar behavior in asymptotic regions, such as if cosmic strings are far from each other, then they should not interact with each other, and actually the G of Z goes to 1 for large separation. But the important part is the closed separation in which you have interesting asymptotics. So this means that when strings are very close to each other, we have to make a coordinate transformation of this kind to give a flat metric, which gives a naive understanding of this cosmic string. But here the coordinate transformation looks like Z tilde is going to be a Z squared. So it means that in this complex plane, the antipolar points in Z space should be identified. So this is a basic result by vortex physics, which has been already given in the late 80s. So now I'm going to generalize the vortex result to vortex strings to have one dimension higher. So the more precise field redefinition is this word is given by this. And if I use this coordinate transformation, the metric is written in this way. So here F rho is an angular coordinate, one of the angular coordinates of this D twirled. And F rho is given by this field transformation, but I don't need any explicit form of it. I just need asymptotics of this function F, and that's going in this way. So if I write a figure, then here is a base of the field Z twirled, and F is given by this kind of function. So it's a smeared cone with a deficit angle pi. So pi is coming from the identification of two antipolar points. So this means that the effective sigma model, which is an effective field theory of two vortex strings, is a polyarc of string moving on the surface of the smeared cone. Let me use this idea to show the inevitable reconnection of cosmic strings, the vortex strings. So the initial condition is the same, like this. And if I project this picture from upper side, then you get this picture. So we have two strings, and those should be identified antipodally. But this is the metric is non-trivial here. But if I make the field redefinition from Z to Z field, then I have a smooth metric. And then the string configuration is like this. And now two antipolar points are already identified, so I have only a single string. And so, if I map this onto the smeared cone, the situation is like this. A single polyarc of string is wrapping this smeared cone. And the initial velocity is just this, these arrows. And so if I map this to Z12, then the direction is like this. So here we can follow the time evolution very simply, and the resultant configuration is this. And if you look at this figure from the upper side, then you have this picture. And then if we map this back to Z space, then we have this picture. And if I reproduce the x direction to get the three-dimensional space, then we have this picture. So the vortex strings have been reconnected. So this is the way you can understand the reconnection of both vortex strings. And it shows that it's inevitable, classically. But as numerical simulations show that there is a velocity upper bound, so let me give you the velocity upper bound formula. So here is a simple understanding of that. So suppose that two strings are colliding, and let me get out of this moduli space approximation. And suppose that after reconnection, we have this kind of figure in which things are sweeping on a virtual box, which is expanding with the velocity of large v. And I put an initial condition of v bar, which is a relative velocity of the original strings. And the energy of this final configuration can be evaluated very simply, because I can put a coordinate on these four blocks, the kink points, like this. And let me consider the energy gain, delta E, which is given by E plus minus E minus, where E plus is the energy produced by reconnection, the energy of the solid lines of these. And E minus is given by the energy of the original strings, which disappeared after the reconnection, the energy of these dashed lines. So given V bar, if delta E is negative for some velocity large V of the box, then the reconnection should occur. And the result is very simple. So this is a delta E function for the appropriately chosen V bar. And if V bar is very large, then there is no region where you have delta E is negative. But on the other hand, if delta E, V bar is very small, then you have a negative delta E. So there is a velocity upper bound given by this formula. And the important point is that V cannot exceed the speed of light, so kink cannot travel faster than the speed of light. So that gives this formula. And eventually, this coincides with the field theory result by Copeland and Turok in 1980s. And they consider some special angles in Fabian-Hicks model and see how this velocity upper bound can be understood in that scenario with some angles for the field theory space. And this alpha is the Anders parameter. And if I choose their parameter as 1 over 8, then I can reproduce this formula from their results. So it's a nice coincidence. And here in the last section, I'd like to describe what is the reconnection of colliding D strings. So here in this transparency, I'd like to explain the reconnection is just equivalent to the tucking condensation of intersecting D planes. So there is a nice worldship string theory result, which gives a spectrum of a string connecting these two D strings as this. So this is the string connecting these two D brains, and the spectrum is given by this. So D0 is the distance between these two. And you can see that if you look at this n equals to 0 lowest mode, it becomes tachyonic if the distance between the two becomes very close. So this is very close, similar to the brain expression, but here I'm thinking about just two colliding D strings. And actually, it was proved that this the condensation of this tachyonic mode, n equals to 0, corresponds to the reconnection itself. The proof goes like this. So first, I described the D-string configuration by two-dimensional Yamil's theory as before. And let me consider fluctuation around the classical solution. And it is actually possible to show that it reproduces the spectrum given here. And the tachyon mode, n equals 0 to 0, is coming from the off-diagonal entry of this Yamil's configuration. And actually, condensation of that tachyonic mode leads to the reconnection by diagonalization of the scalar field. So the thing is like this. Here we have original tangent theta over 2 times x configuration. And also, I turn on the tachyon like this. So this is a specific profile which can be given by fluctuation analysis. And what I have to do is just diagonalize this one to get the concrete geometrical information. And that is given by this. And you can see that if t is non-zero, then at x equals to 0, this is kind of finite. So it means that originally, at t equals to 0, these are, of course, intersecting D-brains or actually separated a little bit. But here, if you turn on the tachyon, then they actually reconnect and change the partner at x equals to 0. So what I have to do is just see the physical evolution of this tachyon field when these two D-strings are colliding. And it's possible to deduce the tachyon effective action from that Yamil's action, and that is given by this. And this is very simple quantum mechanics because it's a one-dimensional physics localized on this intersection point. So here the parameters are given by this formula, and m squared is can become negative because of this appearance of Takeuchi's field. And suppose that we are considering the collision of these strings, and then this z0 parameter, which is the distance between these strings, can change. And first of all, if z0 is very large, then the situation is like this. This harmonic potential appearing here is the usual harmonic potential, and the wave function for the Takeuchi, which is this dashed line, is like this. It's localized. But as time goes, z0 becomes zero, then it means that this m squared becomes negative. So the harmonic potential becomes upside down. So then this wave function spreads very fast. But finally, z0 becomes a negative large value, then the situation gets back to this situation. Or I can write it in this way, where the potential is now flat. So the thing is that, well, what I have to do is just compute this wave function and its time evolution with this given time-dependent harmonic potential. But what I have to make clear is that to what extent, if Takeuchi is condensed, then that gives a reconnection. And that reconnection condition should be understood in the similar way to what I have learned in the velocity upper bound. So here is the same picture, but I put it in a different way. And from this picture, you can easily see that if the separation of these two reconnected D-strings are larger than some value, which is given by the velocity, where T0 is the end of the tachyonic era, then the reconnection should occur. So this is an energetic consideration. Then this gives a lower bound for the tachyon condensation. And if I get this lower bound for the tachyon condensation, then what I have to do is just integrate over these wave function regions with cutoff given by this reconnection condition. And the computation is pretty straightforward, and the final result is like this. It's quite complicated as it looks, but eventually this result is very close to that of Jackson and Jones and Polchinski. They computed some creation of tachyonic strings perturbatively using world shape technique, but here my computation is based on D-string effective actions. So these are quite different ones, but it seems that they have a common features, like in the exponent you have this factor. So this was a non-perturbative factor found in Jackson, Jones, and Polchinski, but here this one over GS factor is coming from the deep brain tension. So it can be understood very naturally. So here is a summary. For vortex strings, I have shown that there is an inevitable reconnection which occurs classically. And there is a velocity upper bound for it, and there is a formula for that, which is derived. And for these strings, on the other hand, reconnection is a quantum phenomenon, and tachyon condensation leads to the reconnection. So in a phenomenological sense, to distinguish these two, the difference of this reconnection probability P was quite important. But unfortunately, there are some other cases in which the field theory vortices give a different reconnection probability rather than one. So I'd like to mention that in the final transparency. So in this talk, I concentrated on myself on the just Avira-Hicks model, but you can treat the same thing in the same way, the non-Avira-Hicks vortex strings. So you can start from non-Avira-Hicks gauge field and consider the same thing. So the brain configuration is like this, and you can follow the similar technique to produce the effective field theory on multiple vortex strings in non-Avira-Hicks model. So what you will find is that in some model, if you start with UN gauge symmetry and UN Frobenius symmetry, then you have n different vacua for the moduli space of multiple cosmic, single cosmic strings. So it means that there are n species of vortex strings, and actually, the reconnection probability is given by 1 over n. And also there is a correction to that. And this correction is very giving very interesting physics. So suppose that we have two different kinds of cosmic strings. And if I suppose that this at this intersection point, these two are reconnected, then the cosmic string changes property one from another, one to another in this way. So there is a gap here. And actually this gap is a so-called Tong's monopole, which is a monopole in a Higgs space. So you have to create a monopole anti-monopole pair to have a reconnection, and that gives this correction to this one way. Okay, so so this means that depending on what kind of vortex strings we are thinking about, the reconnection probability can vary from one. So this poses an interesting question: how can we distinguish physical vortices from superstrings? Thank you very much. Yes. As you can see from Henry Tai's talk, here I consider simply for simplicity this kind of reconnection. But if, for example, if this is a 1-1 string and this is a 0-1 string, then of course there should be some remaining 1-0 string between these two guys. And also, this kind of reconnection can be also computed in terms of deep brain actions. Which I presented at the first stage, this one. So it seems that from this picture, it's impossible to have the third string to describe. But actually, it's possible to describe this third kind of string using this simple 2x2 matrix action. And the thing is that the description of this third guy is coming from a special off-diagonal function. So in that way, you can. Well, that is similar to very similar to the Tachyon condensation, which I described. So yes, there is some certain situations in which you have a third kind of string, and that can be treated in this picture also. Yeah, yeah, and well, it depends on the field theories. So suppose that we start with say n equal to 2 non-Abelian Higgs model, then the situation is that we have n kinds of strings, but there is no bound state of that. So it depends on the details of the field series.
Other questions? Okay, thank you.